We are journeying through the Gospel of John, emphasizing a new chapter each week. Our companion for today is Dr. Kendi DeLong. Kendi is a professor of religion at the Seaver College at Pepperdine University.
You're listening to the Kingdom of Growth podcast. For more resources or to subscribe, be sure to check out our website at kingdomofgrowth.com.
We're continuing our walk through John's Gospel, this week looking at John chapter 7, and once again, we're pleased to have Dr. Kendi DeLong talking to us about John's Gospel. So, Kendi, thank you again for having this conversation with us.
You're welcome. Pleased to be here.
Okay, so what we find in John chapter 7 is Jesus having some minor conflict with his own brothers about his identity. This is a conflict that will carry over to the Festival of Tabernacles, where at first Jesus acts as if he's not going, but kind of sneaks over and then begins to teach and draw some attention to himself. And there's quite a bit of conflictive conversation, at least, happening here in John chapter 7. So, Kendi, as we look at this chapter, what are some things you would encourage us to notice?
I would point out in 7:8 that Jesus says, "My hour has not yet come." Mm-hmm. And this connects to something, a larger theme in the Gospel of John, that his hour is his crucifixion or his glory. And you see that not only in verse 8, but also verse 30, and then in the next chapter in 8:20. So that seems to be a big theme in this section, that there's events that are happening that are pushing Jesus toward this, but he keeps saying, you know, it's not time, yet. My hour's not yet come. So that seems to be an important part of the story there. And you do have, you mentioned this as, you know, kind of different responses to Jesus. You definitely have a divided response here.
Right.
And some people in the crowd in verse 12 are saying, you know, he is a good man, and others say, no, he is deceiving
right. The
crowd. And also there's a note then that his own brothers,
right. As
you mentioned, are not sure about him and what he's doing. So we're getting a foreshadowing,
right. You
know, in a narrative sense. Story sense of what's to come, ultimately he will be rejected by the people that he comes to. Mm-hmm. And that goes all the way back to the hymn at the very beginning of John, mm-hmm. That the Logos, the Word, is coming into the world to those who are his own, but his own will not, you know, accept, will not recognize him. So I think that theme is coming to a head here in this chapter. You mentioned there's conflict. I don't know if you mentioned it here, but there's conflict about circumcision or about healing on the Sabbath. And then mm-hmm. Jesus uses the image of circumcision to kind of push back against that, which is interesting. It's a different image than is used than he uses in the Synoptic Gospels, where he talks about, you know, untying your you will go and untie your ox or, you know, livestock to allow them to drink on the Sabbath, or you will take, you know, your livestock out of a ditch or something like that.
Right.
Here he uses circumcision, you will circumcise on the Sabbath.
Right.
So it's a different way of coming at it, but it's the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a sense that, of the fact that he has come from the Father and will return to the Father. You see that at 7:33.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, this idea of water, that anyone who is thirsty at 7:38.
Mm-hmm.
So you read it, you know, that anyone who is thirsty will drink, and then out of him will flow rivers of living water.
And this is a reference, he says, I guess, to the Spirit. So I know we talk in other places about the Spirit being like the wind. Here he's talking about the Spirit kind of like this overflowing fountain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, traditionally this is understood as the Spirit coming into the believer, but there is actually an interesting interpretive challenge in this particular verse. Yeah. As to when it says, out of him shall flow rivers of living water, as mm-hmm. to whether that him is the believer mm-hmm. or is Jesus.
Okay.
So, in other words, is it, and there's two kind of, it depends on how you punctuate the verse and where you see the breaks and that sort of thing. So that has been actually generated a lot of debate in terms of interpretation of this verse. So in other words, so you drink the water, and does it, and then is it saying that that water is flowing from Christ into you, or is it saying that you drink the water and then that water is flowing from you out into the rest?
Interesting.
Okay, yeah.
It's a little hard to parse that part. Okay.
It is. Yeah. And so actually, if you compare translations, you'll sometimes see different ways. Yeah.
Yeah, that's helpful. And, you know, another person that shows up in this chapter that I like to think we're seeing good storytelling and character development, but Nicodemus, who we saw a few chapters back coming to Jesus at night, you know, you talked in one of our other discussions about the importance of understanding when John talks about the Jews, he's talking about kind of an elite, powerful group of people, not all Jews at all times. But even among that elite group, we see Nicodemus getting a little bit bolder in what he thinks about Jesus. I love especially around verse 50, 51. He's not saying fully that he endorses him, but he's also saying, hey, we don't need to give into a total mob mentality here. Let's kind of follow good protocol. And I don't know, what do you think about Nicodemus here? Are we witnessing growth in him as a person at this point?
Yeah, so he says, our law does not judge people without first giving them a hearing to find out what they are doing, does it? Mm-hmm. You know, so he's challenging kind of responses to Jesus. I do think that John shows growth in Nicodemus over time, because he reappears in chapter 19.
Right.
And he's described as the person who first came to Jesus by night.
Right.
And now he's involved in helping with the body of Jesus, you know, at the crucifixion. So, is this kind of a midway point in that progression, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At first he comes to Jesus at night, and he's confused by what Jesus says. Now he's willing to kind of stick his neck out a little bit on behalf of Jesus. But at the end, he's willing to take even more chances to attend to the body of Jesus and be part of that process. So, I mean, we don't get a lot to work with, but yeah, it does suggest that Nicodemus is making a kind of journey in the gospel.
Kendi, thank you for sharing some reflections with us as we look at John 7, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week about John chapter 8.
Thanks. Looking forward to it.
You've been listening to the Kingdom of Growth podcast. For more resources about Christian life and leadership, or if you'd like to subscribe, be sure to check out our website, kingdomupgrowth.com.